From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. As a new, more dangerous strain of the Mpox virus continues to spread through Africa, and it has now been detected in a person in Sweden as well as Thailand, what do we need to know about this? Joining us today is Dr. David Pate, the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Gemma.
So folks, remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So Dr. Pate, we first talked about this new strain of the Mpox just last week, right after the World Health Organization gave out some concerning news about it. But for folks who may not have been listening to that conversation, can you give us a quick refresher on what we know about this new strain?
Right. So monkeypox has been a disease caused by a virus of the same name, though we've changed the name of the disease from monkeypox to Mpox. It has been a disease that has circulated in Africa for decades, and we've had isolated outbreaks that have generally been easy to contain because this monkeypox, the rash that you get, is pretty distinctive, and we could isolate people and cut down on the transmission when we knew it was circulating. Up until now, it's been these rather small outbreaks that have been contained, and most of those have actually affected children. And so what is different is the first big difference was in 2017, when we started to see in a new outbreak that there was evidence it could be transmitted sexually. We had never documented that before 2017. So that seemed to be a change. Then what happened is in 2022, we had that outbreak extend out of Africa and started circulating globally in countries that in 116 countries that had never had monkeypox before. We had about 100,000 cases of it before it could be contained. That outbreak was mostly transmitted through sexual contact, which is distinctly unusual from what had happened in years earlier. And it typically was in the population of homosexual and bisexual men having sex with men. That was the major risk factor. Now, that got contained pretty much by about summer of 2023. But then last fall of late 2023, we saw this new outbreak. And this is a genetically distinctive form of it, and that's different than what was circulating before. And now this was spreading to nearby countries in Africa and seemed to be driven by the sex industry, by sex workers who were going from country to country. Although there was a troubling about 14% of cases were in children. So clearly sexual transmission is not the whole story. Now, what has happened is this very latest strain that is genetically distinctive has been spreading to more and more African countries, which caused the African CDC last Tuesday to declare a public emergency continent-wide. And then, just as you said in the lead-up, the World Health Organization declared it a public health emergency of international concern because of the risk of this spreading to other countries. And then, just as you reported, there's now been a confirmed case in Sweden, and we're starting to see cases, suspected cases, turned up in other countries. And Venezuela just yesterday quarantined a ship that they believe someone on the ship may have monkeypox. So the risk is that this is, and it's not unexpected when you have an outbreak this large, that is, people travel and they're going to take the disease with them. And monkeypox has a long incubation period. Remember, incubation period is the time from when you're exposed to the virus to the time that it manifests. And for monkeypox, on average, it's about 1 to 2 weeks, but it can be up to 3 weeks. So people that get exposed in Africa, then travel, they may not develop the telltale signs until they're already in another country.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And that's what's being reported about this case in Thailand, is that it was a traveler who traveled through Africa and Europe to Thailand and now is, you know, has this. With that said, though, Dr. Pate, do we know how this new strain is spreading? Because is there a concern that it's spreading, you know, it's airborne? Or I know before, you know, it was, you know, physical contact, something like that. I mean, what does make this potentially different than what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and it's one that scientists and public health experts are debating. There are some people who are saying that there's really no airborne risk of this virus. I think that is a premature conclusion. I think, in fact, there is some evidence to suggest it could be transmitted by respiratory droplets. And so not airborne in the sense that we think of aerosols where somebody in another room could be infected, but there does seem to be some evidence that it could be transmitted by aerosols if we were in close contact in the same room and so forth. However, what does seem to be clear so far is that that's not the most efficient way for this to spread, if in fact it spreads that way. The highest risk for getting it is close contact. And of course, there's not closer contact than having sex. So that is no surprise that that would be a particular high risk factor. But we see that people that get infected with monkeypox have about a 9% secondary attack rate. And what that means is that when they're infected and they're living in homes with other people, we expect about 9% of those family members might contract it. And so that's generally from close contact. It can also be transmitted by touching the bedding, the clothes, those kinds of things. But that is much lower transmission than another virus that we struggled with that is in the same family called smallpox. Its secondary attack rate was 50 to 60%. Wow. So this isn't as transmissible, but it likely does it requires some degree of close contact.
So with that said, Dr. Pate, you know, how concerned should folks be, you know, here in the U.S.? I mean, any type of precautions anyone should be taking? And we should note, there is a vaccine already in use for Mpox.
That's right. We do have a vaccine, and it does appear to be effective. And so I do suspect that there's no reason that this a strain won't reach the United States, just like the strain did in 2022. However, I don't think this is going to be a major risk for most people. I think for right now, based on what we know, and I would caution, this is very early. We're going to learn more about this virus, and it has already surprised us. So we shouldn't think we know and be overly confident. But at this point, once it is introduced in the United States, the real risk is going to be for people that live with these patients and people that are sexual partners of these people. So If you have multiple partners, sexual partners, then obviously just the statistics are going to increase that this could be an issue. And so what you need to be aware of is that if somebody does have these skin lesions that and you develop something unusual, you really need to seek medical attention and allow us to evaluate it to determine. It is fairly distinctive, and so we can probably easily diagnose that. And then, like you said, we have the vaccine. We actually have an antiviral. There's some question about whether this new strain is as responsive to this antiviral mm-hmm. as the prior, so we'll have to find that out. But there are treatments, and there certainly are preventions. So just a heightened alert, but really, the chances of anyone listening to this radio show contracting it or being exposed to it at this point remains pretty low.
So let's turn to COVID right now, Dr. Pate, because when we look at the week ending on August 10th, the CDC reported that nearly one in five of all COVID tests in the U.S., they excluded at-home test results, we should say, were coming back positive. So what do we need to know about these rising cases of COVID, and especially as so many people are back in closer contact than they were over the summer with school having started?
Absolutely. So this is almost the opposite of what I said for monkeypox. So the risk of you coming in contact with monkeypox at this point, pretty low. Your risk of coming in contact with the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID, very high. It's estimated based on our wastewater data that probably 1 in 24 people are infected in the western part of the United States. The western part of the United States is actually having, it's high all across the country. It's higher mm-hmm. in the West. So if you're going to be in a large group of people, just keep that in mind. 1 in 24 on average are going to be infected. And again, the good news about where we are in this pandemic is it is not making as many people critically ill, have to be hospitalized, and dying. Deaths are still occurring. Those tend to be in older individuals who have not kept up with vaccines, or those with medical problems that have not kept up with vaccines or aren't responding to the vaccines. So that's the highest group. But even for younger people and healthy people, the risk for long COVID, which can be devastating, is mm-hmm. increased with every infection you get. So keep that in mind. But right now, the risk is as high as it has ever been this time of the year. And not surprisingly, because of the surge we were already talking about, Gemma, and then you asked me and we talked about what would be the impact of school. And I said, it's going to increase. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what we're seeing.
Yeah, it seems to happen this time every year, Dr. Pate. Federal health officials are warning doctors to keep watch for a respiratory virus known as parvovirus B19, as there's apparently been an uptick here in the U.S. So, Dr. Pate, what is this parvovirus B19?
Yeah, parvovirus B19 is not a new virus or a virus that we haven't largely been exposed to. It's very common. It's a respiratory virus predominantly. And this one also is transmitted usually through droplets, respiratory droplets, when we talk, cough, sneeze, those kinds of things. And typically in that short room where you're like in a room close to the person or having close mm-hmm. contact with the person. So parvovirus B19 most often causes a very mild infection. Some people may have no idea that they are sick. They may not have symptoms. But when we do see symptoms, it's usually in kiddos, and those kiddos can get a flu-like illness with headache, fever, coughing, those kinds of things. And then one characteristic that's distinctive of this virus is that as those symptoms go on for a few days, all of a sudden the child develops a rash. And this is called a slapped cheek rash because it has that appearance, as if somebody slapped them on both cheeks. They're red and noticeably red. And sometimes that rash will just subside in 2 to 3 or 4 days. Sometimes it will spread to other parts of the body. Some people will know that rash by its name, fifth disease,
Okay.
like number five, but fifth disease, and it's what it's called. And so in most of those cases, they resolve fine. And so if you look at, Jim, I know you've got a high schooler, 50% mm-hmm. chance that he's got antibodies to this virus and protected. By the time that he's your age, it's about 70% of people your age have been exposed. By my age, it's more like 80-85%, and have these antibodies that protect us. The groups that this is a problem for, and why the CDC alerted doctors, is that, first of all, we're having an increase, and this has been noted in many other countries as well, an unusual increase in these number of cases. So we do see this every winter, spring, and early summer, but we're seeing a higher level than would be expected. And so we need to just be on the lookout, particularly for the at-risk groups. Now, who's at risk? At risk would be pregnant women, because they can transmit this to the fetus. And there are, in some cases, not most, but in less common cases, when the mother does get infected, the fetus can develop life-threatening problems. There's two different problems. They can become very, very anemic. The fetus can become very anemic and might require intrauterine blood transfusions, or there's a deathly complication that they can develop where fluid accumulates in their organs. For adults, the risks are to those that are immunocompromised, and because they can develop a persistent parvovirus B19 infection with a blood disorder that can result from it, and also immunocompromised patients who I already mentioned that. And then people that have certain blood disorders, so thalassemia, sickle cell disease, even to some degree, people like with iron deficiency anemia. But if you have an underlying blood problem, this can cause a problem where it disrupts the blood cell production. So we're always on the lookout for those things in the high risk. Most healthy people and young adults and adults, they're going to be just fine.
So, Dr. Pate, let's get to a couple of questions before I let you go as well. Now, this first one is from Sherry, and she would like to know, when will the new COVID-19 vaccine for strain KP2 be available in Idaho?
Well, I would love to know the answer to that, too. And it's been fairly frustrating because the CDC, the FDA, has had the applications from Moderna and Novavax for like over 2 months, I think. Novavax for over 2 months, maybe Moderna, maybe over a month. I'm mm-hmm. not sure what the slow go has been, that they haven't authorized those already. Those are ready to go. Pfizer, I think, has been the delay, but I don't know why the FDA has to wait on them if they're not ready. But I think they are either ready or close to ready. So we keep on hearing that. First, we heard they were coming out in July or be available in July, and then we heard August. I'm more inclined to believe at this point, without much degree of confidence, that they'll be out in September. So I don't know the answer. I don't know anybody that knows the answer, but we can sure let you know on this show mm-hmm. When we get word that they're out. But the FDA has been delaying for some reason.
And we should note that for a lot of us, it'll be almost a year, if not a little bit longer, since we had that last COVID vaccine.
That is an important point, Gemma, and people need to understand that this virus has changed so much that those shots that you got like last September, or mm-hmm. if you didn't get one then and it's even been longer, they're providing probably little, if any, protection at this point. So the recommendation that the FDA has made is that everyone 6 months of age and older should get this new vaccine. It'll be called the 2024-2025 updated COVID vaccine. Everybody 6 months and older should get it. From 6 months to 12 years of age, all you're going to be able to do is get the mRNA vaccines. But if you're 12 and older, you can have any of the three vaccines.
I have just under 3 minutes left with you, and I want to get to Doug's question. He says, Dr. Pate recently spoke about travel insurance regarding traveling abroad. Could he go over that again, as we will be looking to travel soon?
Yeah, this is an important point that a lot of people overlook. And let me just clarify. So first of all, there's trip insurance, which just covers the cost of your trip if for some reason you're not able to make it. That's not what we're talking about. And then there's medical insurance, which is your insurance for your health, usually not accepted in most foreign countries. And what I'm talking about is medical evacuation insurance. So the problem is, what if something unexpected happens and you end up in a hospital in another country? First of all, it's very costly. Most of those hospitals are going to require cash up front and periodic cash payments. They're not going to take your insurance. Second thing is, you may be in an environment where you don't understand what's going on because of a completely different language being spoken. And third, you may be concerned about the quality of care and want to be transferred. So my advice was to people, and everybody that's called me for help when they've been overseas, they didn't expect that they would need this kind mm-hmm. of insurance. They didn't anticipate it, and now they're in a bind. So think about having this. You can get it pretty affordably. I mentioned that I have a policy to cover me and my wife, and I pay about $300 a year for it. So if you're traveling, and it doesn't have to be international, it's just if you're doing a lot of travel, even far away in the United States, you might want this. So what the questions are, I said it's important to ask, is number one, is will they bring you back to the United States? Some medical evacuation insurance is only going to take you to the closest hospital. So that may just be taking you from one country to another that is able to take care of the illness. The second thing that I mentioned is your spouse going to be able to come with you on the plane? And most of them, they just say, well, if we can accommodate it. But I got a policy that says I can, if it was my wife or vice versa. And then the last thing is, it might seem minor, but will they bring your luggage back with you? Because you might need that. And some policies, they just say, well, if it's convenient, we'll do it. But if not, you got to make those arrangements. And you don't want to be dealing with that with everything else.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, so appreciate that. And you're right. None of us ever expect to have a health emergency when we are traveling abroad, but it happens. With that said, a big thank you to Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.